If this was predicted 27 years ago, somebody knew something. Okay, here's the list. This is an abbreviated list. I could have made it much longer. You know I can. I didn't. Okay, you ready for the list? Fast mutating viral disease pandemics. Genetically developed vaccines. Smart IDs. DNA database tracking. DNA chips. Get this one. 1997, gene-based pharmaceuticals. Transmitting genetic instructions for a disease process. How about this one? You ready for it? Wait for it. Artificial intelligence to determine gene patterns. 27 years ago, who had heard about AI? Apparently they had. How about this one? Robots for doing genome sequencing. And then, this one blew me away, using recombinant DNA for making spike proteins. 1997? It gets even worse. Smart homes. They have a whole chapter on smart homes / smart cities. This one will absolutely floor you. It did me. In 1997, and this is, you can do the word search and research yourself. They predicted, not 2025, but by 2020, that people would be working from home virtually. Ah, come on. Listen, that's, you know, I mean, how do you know that? Because you're the one who did that. World War III, of course. Nuclear devices causing widespread contamination. Nanotech devices. This stuff was never even heard of. Digital currency, and last but certainly not least, vaccination programs. I'm sorry, I got to chuckle, because if I don't, I'll cry. Vaccination programs run by organizations like the World Health Organization for a global killer that has yet to emerge.
That is from the book, The Sovereign Individual: Mastering the Transition to the Information Age, by James Dale Davidson and Lord William Rees Mogg. The Sovereign Individual came out in 1997. Nobody should be surprised. This entire world is scripted. If the Bible has been scripted and predicted, programmed thousands of years ago before man has even created a book called The Sovereign Individual, then just know all this is just color commentary. That's all it is. Satan wants to be like the Most High, so he has to predict the program, everything that we are going to see or have seen in the future. I mean, they already told you that they were going to use AI through the first Running Man, and that was 1980-something. They knew they were going to use AI then. Of course, every other either low-budgeted or B-rated movie that had to do with robots, they've already been telling you they were going to be using robots. I mean, they told us in the cartoon The Jetsons that they were going to use robots, or we were going to have robot maids. I mean, look how fast, you know, if we remember Boston Dynamics, which is a robot computer company, and they came out with the robot that could do flips, jump, and dance. And fast forward, all of a sudden, Tesla had the humanoid robots already on display. And in Asia, in China, have already had humanoid faces on these robots. So for that, the fact that it's coming so fast and people think that they've been working for like 2 days on these robots. No, they had this plan already ready. They've had these robots already ready in the storage. And they're just releasing them. It's like, oh, okay, it may look like it just came out yesterday. Like, oh, it's a little bit of the, you know, bugs and bumps in the road of trying to get these robots. No, they soft released the beta version of these robots. And then 2 months later, you get almost the full package of these robots already. It should be between 3 to 4 or 5 years in between the very first robot we saw that couldn't walk and was falling down to now you've seen these humanoid robots pick up heavy machinery and already showing that they can work in automobile factories. Now, it's coming, man. This world is already said and done. We are already at our predetermined destination with the Most High. If 1,000 years is but a day in heaven, we are already either with him or we are already in hell. That's what it is already. We're just living through the consequences of that actions. If you really want to look at it that way, we are literally living through the consequences of our actions, depending on if we are in heaven or if we are in hell. The game has already been called. We just live in the color commentary. So Satan knows this, like, oh, let me script these current events and mock them, which is called the revelation of the method. Let's mock them through what we say we're going to do to them so we can do it. They've done this through all forms of media. And yet people still line up at polls to vote for a president and vote for politicians when they constantly tell you that this government, which is shut down, that this government is ran by a foreign nation. Y'all don't think it's funny that that a $1 billion lottery winner set up a LLC so it could be named nominous who won that ticket, that $1 billion jackpot in September, I think September, October. And then the government shuts down 30 some days afterwards. And then now Bitcoin takes a $19 billion plummet. BlackRock, Vanguard, all these CEO companies are selling off Bitcoin because they want you to sell it all off so they can buy low. They've already sold it when it was at its height to buy it, to plummet it, to buy low, and then raise it back up again. Once everybody cleared out, once everybody has lost enough money or starts to sell off their Bitcoin, then they're going to buy it low. Then they're going to rise it right back up. Yes, some people are going to be made rich off of it, but for the most part, they're going to keep sinking it because they're trying to prepare how long this government shutdown is going to be. And it's going to be for a while. But it may come back soon. I don't know. But I'm pretty sure they may shut it down again around the presidential election. Why do you think Johnny Depp, before Donald Trump's first presidency, said that Donald Trump was going to be the last president? That having a president after him won't work. So he knows. If you look in Corinthians, or you look up what Paul said, he said that here's a mystery. He talked about the last trump. It didn't say the last trumpet. It's in the Bible as the last trump, which is, he says, is a mystery. Could that have something to do with Trump? I don't know. In 1 Corinthians 15:52, he says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the shofar shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we all shall be changed. It sounds like the end times. The Most High will show us that he has the power to resurrect the dead in front of the living, of those who we know were alive. It's nothing more but to show us that, yeah, these people had just gone to sleep. Now I woken them back up. rather than these people have been asleep for a long period of time. And then you'd be like, I don't know these people. How do I know if they died or not? It could be AI. It could be a fake. It could be a crisis actor. So you just imagine if the Antichrist comes on stage and tries to have the same lying power, bringing back Charlie Kirk. Wouldn't that be funny if they brought him back? Because obviously he wouldn't look like he aged a decade or a couple of years. What if they just brought him back? Like, oh, what if they resurrected Kobe Bryant and say, oh, Kobe Bryant has came back? Because obviously we age like wine. So we, like 2, 5, 6 years, you know, we could be in hiding and come back out and still look the same. So what if they brought back Kobe Bryant? Like, oh, I brought back Kobe Bryant, and everybody worships and praises the beast and the Antichrist for these lying wonders. Because they, you know, they have to imitate the Most High. So you know it's going to be either mass death and a fake resurrection. One or the other, they have to show. I mean, the CEO of BlackRock was already talking about depopulating. Bill Gates is, again, talking about depopulation. Grimes, which was the baby mama of Elon Musk, and she predicted the program coronavirus with her album and her music video, Violence, because she was showing the mask like around 2019 or 2018. She started talking about there was going to be this mass death, and that's why they're introducing AI so fast or so heavily, which is, I could see it. I mean, you need to knock the higher to middle income families down to the lower income families. And you know, the higher and middle aren't going to want to take the jobs that the lower income would. That's why they're flooding the border with immigrants. They're just not talking about it now because it's not a hot button ticket. It's like a TV channel. They're just changing the channel. It's like a TV program. They're just changing it. You think that all of a sudden the immigrants stopped because Donald Trump became president? He never showed you that he closed that border up. They haven't gone back down there and showed you anybody yet that has been crossing or hasn't been crossing. They just changed the channel on you. And now everybody's worrying about Charlie Kirk, Turning Point USA halftime show, and Erica Kirk. They're making that such a spectacle so you can draw your attention away from those who are really going to take your jobs, which is AI. Wife will get upset that, oh, you know, we're losing our way of life. We're losing our way. We're losing this. We're losing our identity. Is your identity has already been gone. As soon as the children of Yashar'el woke up, your identity was gone. It's gone. Now it comes judgment. And they're trying to hold on through this sunken cost fallacy, they call it, to say, well, I invested so much of my time, my energy, my emotions, my identity in the nation of America. I have to fight for it now. And a lot of people are going to go down just like they went down in Babylon, just like they went down in Egypt. Proud to be Egyptians, proud to be Babylonians, and not knowing they're transgressing the Torah of the Most High Yah. And to follow that up, a brother reached out to me in one of the episodes called Still in the Face Of. He's going through a little bit of strife right now, not with his spouse, but a disconnect from his biological father. He said he prayed all day one day to get understanding from Yah as to why he was cut off from that side of the family, especially when they just had a death in the family and nobody even told him. His grandfather died 2 months ago, and because he came out of the pagan feast days, they assumed that he doesn't attend funerals or show up. And he's just finding out that his father's going through a weird spirit and seeing it come out of his pops now more than he's ever had. And I'm telling him, for a little bit of encouragement, it is all part of Yah's plan. It is all part of his prophecy. He has to separate us because we won't hear his voice. We won't understand his obedience and his correction, because the correction and obedience to our fathers is all we knew. Our fathers were our authority in this life, the authority over our flesh, and it's his words that we always heard. We didn't hear anybody else's. We compared all men that we may have looked up to or had the potential to look up to. We all tested these men against our father. They were our first superhero. They were our first Yahuwah. We know no one else. When we messed up, it was our fathers that corrected us. When we did good, it was our fathers who uplifted us and exalted us and blessed us. So the reason why he separates us is so we can be given a spiritual father so he can rule over us and bring us back into obedience, so we won't catch the same stumbling blocks and snares that are general curses in our bloodline because of our fathers and our father's father. This is why he's doing this. It's even mentioned in Jubilees 23, verse 16 and on. And in that generation, the sons shall convict their fathers and their elders of sin and unrighteousness, and of the words of their mouth and the great wickedness which they perpetrate, and concerning their forsaking the covenant which Yahuwah made between them and him, that they should observe and do all his commandments and his ordinances and all his Torah, without departing either to the right hand or the left. And this is where he has us, in isolation, so we don't depart from the right or the left because our allegiance and loyalty to our father. And in that generation, the sons shall convict their fathers and their elders of sin and unrighteousness and the words of their mouth. You may not do this by word, but you will be doing it by deed, by example, by a testimony to what the Most High has promised and blessed us with, the understanding of his Torah, of his statutes and commandments. So right now, they're shunning you away, not because they don't want to be near you or be away from you. It's because they don't understand truly your walk yet. They don't understand it. They don't know if this is a phase or something you just fell into. They still think it's a cult, that what we do is a cult. And plus, your light is to start to shine. Your light is starting to flame. And people don't want to be around light they don't understand. No one, especially this stiff-necked generation of our parents, they do not want their child to outshine them, especially when they know us to be doing it the right way. It's uneasy for them. How does my younger daughter, know more than me about this, and I've been living with Christianity or living with religion or living with the Bible all my life? How are they now coming into this without me telling them or me showing them? Trust me, it's a humbling experience for them as well as it is for you. So the isolation process is necessary. But this prophecy speaks volumes of what we really are to our families, our respective families and fathers. For all have done evil, and every mouth speaks iniquity, and all their works are uncleanness and an abomination, and all their ways are pollution, uncleanness, and destruction. Behold, the earth shall be destroyed on account of all their works, and there shall be no seed of the vine or no oil, for their works are altogether faithless, and they shall all perish together, beast and cattle and birds, and all the flesh of the sea, on account of the children of men. And they shall strive one with another, the young with the old, and the old with the young, the poor with the rich, the lowly with the great, and the beggar with the prince, on account of the Torah, the covenant, for they have forgotten commandment and covenant and feast and months and Shabbats and Jubilees and all judgments. The young with the old and the old with the young shall strive together, one with another. Yahushua prepared us for this when he said that our enemies would be the members of our own household. He's also said that I came not to bring peace but a sword, to separate man from his father and daughter from the mother, to have at odds the mother against the daughter-in-law and so on, and the children against the parent. Based on the Torah. So that backs up Jubilees before Yahushua came into existence, or came into this world for his ministry. And they shall stand swords in war to turn them back into the way, but they shall not return until much blood has been shed on the earth one by another. And those who have escaped shall not return from their wickedness into the way of righteousness, but they shall all exalt themselves to deceit and wealth, that they may each take all that is his neighbor's, and they shall name the great name, but not in truth and not in righteousness. And they shall defile the Holy of Holies with their uncleanness and the corruption of their pollution. They shall name the great name, but not in truth and not in righteousness. You could already tell they're going to eventually start saying Yahuwah and Yahusha. It's just slow cooking with Christians. Christians went from Jesus to now they're saying Yeshua, and now they're saying Yahweh. They will eventually turn to Yahuwah and Yahusha. Eventually. The Most High will show them what his great name is before the day of his wrath and vengeance. And a great punishment shall befall the deeds of this generation from Yahuwah, and he will give them over to the sword, and to judgment, and to captivity, and to be plundered and devoured. That backs up Genesis 15, 13, and 14, when the Most High says that we will leave out in the second Exodus with great substance. That means we will be able to plunder and devour the land of our captivity because of judgment. And he will wake up against them, the sinners of the other nations, who have neither mercy nor compassion, who shall respect the persons of none, neither old nor young nor anyone, for they are wicked and strong to do evil. Sounds like the same nation that he sent to us to bring us back into obedience by using them as a rod. This is the whole point of these other nations. The other nations are only left to abundance and left without correction and left without the rod was because they were used as a rod against us. They were the belt that the Most High used. When he talked about in Yirmiyahu 51 about using Babylon as a golden cup in his hand, trust me, he used these nations like a whip in his hand to correct us and to punish us. So after our punishment is over, after our last captivity, which is this captivity, the use of these other nations is pointless. Like he said in Yeshayahu 40, behold, the nations before him are like a drop in a bucket, nothing but vanity. And in Ezra Baruch is mentioned that the heathen, which are ever reputed as nothing, nothing, become lords over us. If we possess the earth, why do we not have our inheritance? So we have to go through this is the last captivity that we go through. Then we truly see the fall of our enemies. For they are more wicked and strong to do evil than all the children of men. And they shall use violence against Yisrael and transgression against Yaakov. And much blood shall be shed upon the earth, and there shall be none to gather and none to bury. In those days they shall cry aloud and call and pray that they may be saved from the hand of the sinners, the other nations, but none shall be saved. Is this something that went on when the Most High turned his back on us, when he watched over us for evil? And in those days, the children shall begin to study the Torah and to seek the commandments and to return to the path of righteousness. This is us. This is our generation. These are these days. So appreciate the isolation from your biological family. In those days, the children shall begin to study the Torah and to seek the commandments and to return to the path of righteousness. And the days shall begin to grow many and increase amongst the children of men till their days draw nigh to 1,000 years. So imagine you came into, I'm not saying this is going to happen, but I'm just trying to picture it, of us being 45 and we being 45 for almost 1,000 years because the days are slower, the days are longer. It ain't sped up like they are sped up now. So our aging will be completely different. It's almost like that movie In Time with Justin Timberlake, and I think her name is Amanda Seyfried, where they woke up with clocks, and all of a sudden their clocks started ticking, and the only way you could extend your life is if you kept working. And obviously the movie is about him knocking over this bank that had like a million years, and he was taking the years and giving them out to people who needed minutes, seconds, and hours, because he was blessed with, through a guy who didn't want to live anymore, he was blessed with like 119 years. Like a century on his arm. So just imagine, they get it from somewhere. They get it from some parts of scripture or what the Most High could possibly do from their understanding. And the days shall begin to grow many and increase among those, the children of men, till their days draw nigh to 1,000 years and to a greater number of years than before was the number of the days. And there shall be no old man, nor one who is satisfied with his days. For all shall be as children and youths. And all their days they shall complete and live in peace and in joy. And shall be no Satan, nor any evil destroyer. For all their days shall be days of blessing and healing. And then, of course, after the 1,000 years is over, Satan is unleashed out of his prison to test mankind again. And then after that, he will go into his final destruction. This is the Most High's plan. This is Most High's show. I've seen a lot of people on TikTok. Why did, if Satan was such a bad guy, why didn't God just destroy Satan? Boom, instead of having to do all this and doing what he did to his son. Fam, it's the Most High's plan. It's his plan. The whole point of him not destroying Satan before all this is for us to understand he is who he says he is. That he knew eventually if Satan and his angels was going to transgress commandment and they seen paradise, he knew that what he created out of man was going to have the same fall. But he wanted man to be a testimony and a witness to the angels that he created to show them that, look, these people have never seen paradise. They have never seen me, have never seen my throne. They have but faith to know that I will look after them and I will promise them all that you have forsaken in the face of you. So all those watchers up or watching up there pissed that we get multiple chances. We get multiple chances to repent and for salvation. And they don't get not one drop of Yeshua, not one drop of salvation, not one drop of repentance. And they have to sit here and watch us fight and be successful with trying to overcome stumbling blocks in order to be up where he is. Even though we have not seen him. Even though we have not heard his voice physically, audibly, and even though we have not seen his kingdom. And at that time, Yahuwah will heal his servants, and they shall rise up and see great peace and drive out their adversaries. And the righteous shall see and be thankful and rejoice with joy forever and ever, and shall see all their judgments and all their curses on their enemies. That is going to be a beautiful day. That is going to be a beautiful day. To see the curses that you went through your bloodline happen to your enemies and be thankful and rejoicing forever and ever. And their bones shall rest in the earth and their ruach shall have much joy and they shall know that it is Yahuwah who he executes judgment and shows mercy to hundreds and thousands to all that love him. Now he said hundreds and thousands. He didn't say millions and billions. So that is just a picture of what few means when he says that I made this world for many, but the world to come for few. So he's talking hundreds and thousands. It's like there's 144,000 Israelites that are going to be guarded from the days of tribulation. Everybody else is still going to be hundreds and thousands. He ain't say millions and billions. So anyway, another brother asked me about the Noahide laws. He wanted me to explain them. Barney style. So first off, the Noahide laws is supposed to be how to make a righteous Gentile. Almost like how Willie Lynch had making of a slave. It has the Noahide laws are like how to make a righteous Gentile. These Noahide laws are found in the Talmud. So you already know it's going to come with double meanings, double speak, and things that underlining every one of these laws, but they're not going to tell you because, like I said, when I tell you about these laws, you can know why they are putting these laws out there and why it's much more sinister than you think. Well, not really sinister, because if you are still in the religion by the time they enact these laws, that is your fault. This is why the Most High says, "Come out of Babylon," so you don't receive none of her plagues. And one of the issues with Babylon is that through the book of Daniel, they all were worshiping different gods. And they had to petition the king of Babel for the god that they wanted to worship and praise. They had to have pretty much permission. So you would know there would be a lot of religions in Babel, just like there are a lot of religions now. And a lot of denominations of Christianity. So one of the seven Noahide laws, do not worship idols. Worship only the one true God and not any other deity. They never tell you what God this is. So you know, if you read or have any understanding of the Babylonian Talmud, it ain't Yahuwah. It ain't Yahusha. It's going to be the beast system. And it's going to be their God, which is Satan. They believe that Christians are idol worshipers. They won't say it out loud, but they have alluded to knowing that Christians are idol worshipers by the way they treat Christians when they come to Jerusalem. They get spit on. They get attacked. It don't matter if you're a man, boy, woman, or child. It don't matter. They're attacking you. They spit in your direction. They spit on you, or they'll slap you. And this is coming from teenagers to young adults to older gentlemen. They don't like Christians. They believe that their Messiah hasn't come yet. So the story of the Babylonian Talmud, as it's referring to Jesus, is that he came from a Roman soldier and learned magic in Egypt. And that's why they think he is going to be boiling in excrement for all time. They're not talking about Yahushua. They're talking about Jesus Christ, the Roman sun god, who people think it's a man, and they think it's a white man or a Grecian or Roman man. They know it's not the true Messiah. That's why they say the things they say. They know exactly why they are setting up these Noahide laws. It's to go after Christians. If this is supposed to be a Christian nation, this is why they enact the Noahide laws. They're not enacting the Noahide laws in the Arab countries. They're not enacting them anywhere else where Christianity isn't a mainstay of the religion in that country. They're enacting them in places where there is Christianity. So if you could eradicate Christians here, you pretty much make everybody else fall into the beast system. We are the top consumers. We don't export much. We are consumers in this country. So in order for the beast system and the world system, the new world system to work, we being the rebels and the outcasts of the world, we need to be brought into subjection or subjugation. We need to be brought under order. We need to be made slaves. Which is not that easy to do. If you start threatening middle income to lower to higher higher income to middle income families and just threaten them with their job loss or financial insecurity or financial security, they pretty much will fall into place. Because people who lived affluent their entire lives don't know what it means to struggle, and they definitely don't want to go back to. If they struggle, they definitely don't want to go back to having to struggle again, especially not in this economy, when they are going after Bitcoin and are going after the dollar in order to switch it over into a digital currency. But before they do that, they're going to make everybody go into default. In my opinion, they're going to allow things to go into default, but they're going to call in whatever you owe until they wipe out the default and say, okay, it never mattered. So you give up all your wealth, you give up all your funds, your savings, and your resources trying to equalize the debt that you accumulated in your lifetime. They're going to allow you to fall for it and then say, oh, by the way, everybody's defaulting on their debt. Don't worry about it. We'll just erase it and then add it into the digital currency. And everything follows. So not even they have to owe taxes. Not even they have to pay for the debts and defaults that they, as a corporation, as billion-dollar corporations, would have to go through. I think that would be smart on their behalf. If they control the system and it comes to a point where their debt becomes unmanageable because it trickles down, they'll pull the plug. But not until you feel it from the top of the pyramid all the way down to the bottom. That is when they'll cut it off. It's when it will affect them, not when it will affect you. In order for it to affect you, that means it comes with the mark. It comes with universal income. It comes with you being in a smart city in order for you to get universal income. They're going to basically make the outline, the outlands of these 15-minute cities or these new world cities. They're going to make everything around it like a desolation. So if you live in the suburbs, you better start being friendly and upstanding with your neighbors, because you're going to rely on them, because they're not going to allow you, if you don't have the mark, to go into a 15-minute city to go get anything. They're going to clean up all those cities. I mean, they already predict a program that they would through Demolition Man. And that was just one city that they showed us. But that's how they want it, by using these Noahide laws. Do not curse God. Respect and honor God's name. The prohibition against blasphemy applies to all people. So do not curse Satan. Respect and honor Satan, because that's what that means. Do not murder. The value of human life is immeasurable. The destruction of one life is seen as destroying an entire world. Now, since this whole nation is built on murder, now they want to cut off the faucet. And why they want to cut off the faucet? Because you won't be allowed to murder them. So if they wanted to, through their own wickedness, rape a child or rape a woman out in plain view, you wouldn't be able to go after them or lynch them. This is basically about the whole ADL thing. Like if it, like you wouldn't be able to, you wouldn't be able to lynch somebody if they end up doing something to a child and had to be sit on trial. The whole thing was about Franks being caught and not really standing trial, but being lynched. So they're going to make sure that is not a possibility for you. Do not commit sexual immorality. It includes prohibition against incest, adultery, bestiality, and homosexual relations. The family unit is considered the foundation of human society. So if it's the foundation of human society, they have to make it where the perversion is already set in place. So that means two fathers or two mothers or a trans father and a trans mother, they are already going to make sure that that society is always, that's the foundation of the family. It may not be the nuclear family that we are used to, a mom and a dad. It's going to be the foundation of human society that they say is permissible. So after they have already encouraged incest, adultery, bestiality, and homosexual relations, now they're trying to make it righteous. And that is why they're going to use the civil rights movement to do so. That's just a stepping stone. They just used us to shed blood in the streets, to mingle ourselves and lose our inheritance, lose our generational worth, to vote for the party that's going to bring this in. And they are the ones that own majority of the porn sites. So it ain't nothing for them to all of a sudden stop and turn it off and to make it righteous because they own it all. After they have brought everybody down to the level of bestiality, incest, and adultery, then they're to be the ones to turn it off. Do not steal. This covers all forms of robbery, theft, and kidnapping. It means not taking what does not belong to you. If you don't understand or haven't heard yet, Gavin Newsom signed a law in California that permits anybody who sees himself as a guardian of a child do not need nothing more than a valid identification. And maybe not even that. I have to look into the law. But if you wanted to go into a school and say, I'm going to take this kid out of school early, if you're not the parent or the mother, you would be able to do so. So they're finding ways to legalize kidnapping with these laws. So say, for instance, the PG version of this is that me or my wife can't pick up Jalen from school, and her mother or her husband can't pick up Jalen from school either. I mean, I could send a friend to pick her up. That would be the PG rated version of this, the righteous version. Like, oh, I can't get there. They can get there. All I got to do is show ID. Now you don't need permission. You don't need permission. They're not going to call the parents and say, hey, by the way, is this person picking up your child, is there a legal guardian or they have right to do so? They're not even doing that with the law that Gavin Newsom just signed. You'll be able to just go in there, take a kid, and no one will be saying anything. So they're going to find a way to legalize kidnapping. Do not eat flesh from a living animal. This is a command to prevent cruelty to animals. It prohibits eating a limb torn from a still living creature. Now, you know what they're trying to do with Beyond Meats, Beyond Burgers, and plant-based foods. Foods that are created in a lab. They want to remove the fruit of the land. If they're the ones taking over the farmlands, Bill Gates taking over the farmlands, China is getting taken over the farmlands, even in this country. If they take over the farmlands, that means they're taking over the ability for cows to graze and to produce other cows. You take that away and you take away the financial security of farms to develop and continue to produce livestock, then you're relying on cheap meat. You are relying on cheap meat, meat that's been made in the lab. So they are trying to change the system and from Yah's blessings and abundance of this land and livestock to Satan's blessings and abundance of this, of his self-made meat and self-made foods. So, well, but basically all the new system is doing is taking everything from Yah and bringing it into Satan's for a little season. But if we go to Jubilees, before I finish the last one, but if you go to Jubilees 7, I tried to see if there was any evidence of the Noahide laws in some of these verses. So I started Jubilee 7:20. And in the 28th Jubilee, Noah began to enjoin upon his son's sons the ordinances and commandments and all the judgments that he knew, and he exhorted his sons to observe righteousness and to cover the shame of their flesh, which means not to be naked, and to bless their creator and honor father and mother and love their neighbor and guard their souls from fornication and uncleanness and all iniquity. For owing to these three things came the flood upon the earth, namely, owing to the fornication wherein the watchers against the Torah of their ordinances went a whoring after the daughters of men and took themselves women of all which they choose, and they made the beginning of uncleanness. So there is sexual immorality, because what spawned from not only the watchers having children with the daughters of men is that they were also sleeping with their children. They were sleeping with their mother-in-law's children, their fathers-in-law's children. That's why if you read the book of Deuteronomy, it talks about not having relations with family members, even animals. Jubilee 7:26, and we were left, I and you, my sons, and everything that entered with us into the ark. And behold, I see your works before me, that ye do not walk in righteousness, for in the path of destruction ye have begun to walk. And you are party one from another, and are envious one of another. And so it comes that ye are not in harmony, my sons, each with his brother. For I see and behold, the devils have begun their seductions against you and against your children. And now I fear on your behalf that after my death, ye will shed the blood of men upon the earth, and that ye too will be destroyed from the face of the earth. For whoso sheds man's blood, and whoso eats the blood of any flesh, shall be destroyed from the earth. So there it is. Eating of flesh, regardless if it's animal or person, drinking of the blood, regardless if it's animal or person. And there shall not be left any man that eats blood or that sheds the blood of man on the earth, nor shall there be left to him any seed or descendants living under heaven, for into Sheol shall they go, and into the place of condemnation shall they descend, and into the darkness of the deep shall they all be removed by a violent death. There is, do not murder. There shall be no blood seen upon you. Of all the blood there shall be all the days in which ye have killed any beast or cattle whatsoever flies upon the earth. And work ye a good work to your souls by covering that which has been shed on the face of the earth. And ye shall not be like him who eats with blood, but guard yourselves that none may eat blood before you. Cover the blood, for thus I have been commanded to testify to you and your children together with all flesh. And suffer not the soul to be eaten with the flesh, that your blood, which is your life, may not be required at the hand of any flesh that sheds it on the earth. For the earth will not be clean from the blood which has been shed upon it. For only though through the blood of him that shed it, it will the earth be purified throughout all its generations. So basically, the people or the bloodline that still shed the blood of Yahusha, his innocent blood, are still on this earth. And these dum-dums don't know that they are talking against themselves by trying to enact a whole system based on their destruction. So they're saying, not only am I going down, I'm going to take everyone down with us. That is why the Most High called us out of this world. In due time, he has called us out of this world to find him and search him, seek him 10 times after we found him, and do all the things that he wants us to do for him. It'll be just like Daniel and Babylon. They will catch us worshiping and praising Yahuwah, doing the Shabbats, feast days, and new moon feast days, and new moon Shabbats. And we won't be asking permission. We will be in direct defiance of worshiping the beast system or the beast itself. And we'll be cursing their God based on the righteousness of our actions to Yahuwah and Yahusha. And behold, ye will go and build for yourselves cities and plant in them all the plants that are upon the earth, and moreover, all fruit-bearing trees. For 3 years, the fruit of everything that is eaten will not be gathered. And in the fourth year, its fruit will be accounted holy, and they will offer the first fruits acceptable before Most High, who created heaven and earth and all things. That's why they're taking away farmlands. That's why they're imitating food. They're trying to take away our ability to truly worship and praise and give offerings to our Yahuwah. So it's much more deeper than them just trying to own everything because they want to be greedy and they want the money and they want the control. It's a lot deeper than that. They're trying to remove from, they know it's going to be increasingly noticeable that we are the children of Yasharel and that we are returning back to the ordinances and statutes that are based in giving of the fruit of the livestock and the fruit of our trees to be acceptable as a offering to the Most High. If you take that away and you give rancid meat, or if you give GMO meat, or you get lab grown meat, the Most High is not going to accept our offering. Let them offer in abundance the first of the wine and oil as the first fruits on the altar of Yahuwah, who receives it. And what is left, the servants of the house of Yahuwah eat before the altar which receives it. And in the fifth year, make ye the release, so that ye release it in righteousness and uprightness, and ye shall be righteous, and all that you plant shall prosper. For thus did Enoch, the father of your father, command Methuselah, his son, and Methuselah and his son Lamech, and Lamech commanded me all the things which his fathers commanded him. And I also will give you commandment, my sons, as Enoch commanded his son in the first Jubilees, while still living, the seventh in his generation. He commanded and testified to his son and to his son's sons until the day of his death. So this is also the blessing and the curse of understanding that, knowing your forefathers, if you are a part of Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, Noah, that is a righteous bloodline. That is a righteous number of generations of men walking uprightly before Yahuwah in the days of Noah, at the days of wickedness, slaughter, murder, bloodshed, and destruction. That these four generations of men and fathers was able to teach their sons and pass this knowledge on to that fact that Noah, to the fact that Noah was the one saved, and he allowed the descendants of Methuselah and Lamech and Enoch to pass before Enoch was taken up. They were allowed to pass in normal time, so they didn't have to go through the destruction. That's the grace and mercy that the Most High had on the bloodline of Noah. They didn't get to see the destruction. They were able to pass away. That's why he gave them 125 years for them to act right. That was, that 125 years is for Lamech and Methuselah to have a peaceful death. And we are in a generation that we are convincing our fathers of their wickedness by our actions, by us observing the covenant of the Torah. So do not be upset that we are isolated. Do not be upset that you are parting ways with your bloodline for a small season, because that's all it is. It's a small season. I mean, I didn't talk to my parents and my brother and sister for like 3 years, 3.5 years. And it wasn't because I didn't want to. It's just that spiritual death or that spiritual separation that has to happen so the Most High can train you up to hear his voice and only his voice only. When you are too close to your family members at the time that he calls you, you will be all over the place because you don't know which voice to listen to. And he needs to put you in a place where you are going to only listen to him and rely on him and go to him as a parent. And then once you build yourself up, once he brings you into the adulthood of this walk, then you go. He puts you back with your family so you can be a light to that household. Some of you don't understand that you are the saviors, or you're the Moshe of your bloodline. I remember in the movie Ten Commandments, when the old man was in the mud pit stomping and he got hit with the axe. He said, I had but one prayer, and I fear that my prayer wasn't answered. And Moses said, what prayer was that? He said, before death closed my eyes, that my eyes beheld the deliverer. And of course it came true, because he ends up looking at the deliverer. That's what some of you in your respective households, as far as it goes with your family, your biological family, that is what you'll have to go through. they would have to look at you and understand that the things that you are doing for this walk, for Yahuwah, and for the Torah, is to save your bloodline, is to progress your bloodline on so it's not eradicated from this earth. They don't understand it now, but they understand it when all of this starts to come into fruition. So that is why we are separated. We're separated just like Abraham was separated from his father, Terach, and went into the cave and learned the law, statutes, commandments when Shem and Noah were still alive. He was able to understand and know everything about Yahuwah, everything about the luminaries, everything about how to stay righteous. And then he was brought back to his father. After he became a man, he was brought back to his father. And that is when he started admonishing his father of leaving those idols behind. That they have no life in them, that they have no breath in them, that they cannot save. And the only thing they can do is accumulate dust. And the food that is offered to them, they can never eat it or digest it. So that is how, in the verse I read about Jubilees, about convincing our fathers of their wickedness and sin, we are doing that by completely changing our life over for Yah and Yahusha. So to that brother, do not give up hope. Just allow this season to happen. During this season is where you start planting the seeds of righteousness within your own home, planting the seeds of righteousness within your own mind and heart. So when he brings you eventually back to your father, you will be able to handle that stiff-necked generation with a little more gentleness, which is needed, especially with that stiff-necked generation, in order for him to see the light that Yahuwah has planted in you. I'm sorry that this is a short episode. I did this episode earlier this morning. That's why I'm late putting it up. I did this episode this morning, and I didn't even turn the mic on. And I did it with the late night R&B voice, too. I'm so upset. I had the late night R&B Barry White voice on to stay quiet in the house where everybody was asleep, and then I didn't even have the mic on. So I went a whole hour or something with not even the mic being on. And so I had to leave and come back and do the episode again. So I apologize. So that's where we are with Noahide laws, but they don't really mean that much if we're following the law, statutes, commandments of Yahuwah. We know that these days and this time is supposed to come. It's already been predicted, programmed to come, but you can stay ahead of the curve. If you're looking to switch jobs or get a job opportunity, go into a market where they need human-to-human contact. Human-to-human, learn a trade skill. I mean, they're not automating electricians. They're not automating plumbers. They're not automating, you know, construction workers at this moment. Go into something that people are going to need face-to-face contact. Because everything else that's done in the office building can be replaced with AI, can be replaced with a robot. And eventually it will, especially when they come out with these smart cities. I can see them having driverless cabs, driverless Ubers. And then when you walk into the front desk, you're not even talking to the receptionist. You're talking to a screen. You're talking to an AI representative. And pretty soon it's going to be like that in court cases. They got this movie coming out called Mercy with the I can't think of his name, but he's one of the is it Ryan's? No, I can't think of a name right now, but he was in the Guardians of the Galaxy as Star-Lord or whatever his name was. But he's in a movie and the whole judicial system is AI. So they put you in a seat and they give you 90 minutes to whatever to try to prove your innocence using all of the AI technology that's already implanted in the city. I'm talking about you have access to files, video cameras, street cameras, home ring doorbell cameras. You have all access to anything that AI has power over to prove your innocence. So the judicial system, you don't need judges anymore. So it's not going to be you need a lawyer. You're going to get an AI representative, and they're going to do the best for you as an AI representative of the law. So the judicial system is about to be have a massive overhaul, and it's probably going to get things done faster. So just prepare. and do not want to get caught up in this system and not being aware or not being ready and being a watchman. I'll see y'all next time.